We sit here trying to get the mind quiet, settle down with one thing, to have some tranquility. We all have our different reasons for doing this. But Buddha says one of the goals of tranquility is dispassion. In fact, he says the highest dhamma, either fabricated or unfabricated, is dispassion. And John Lee talks about how the moment of dispassion, when fabricated and unfabricated dhammas fall away from each other, it's the highest possible experience. And it just doesn't sound attractive to a lot of us. I think that life without passion would be oatmeal without any flavoring. And that's the whole point. Our experience of the six senses is on its own pretty much oatmeal. And the joy we get out of it is what we add. Either we add sweet things, we keep varying the sweets, or we decide we'll try salty oatmeal. Add ginger and garlic. But the oatmeal needs something. And it's what we add. Without it, life would be pretty tasteless. What the Buddha is saying is that there is something that doesn't need the salt or the sugar or the raisins or the maple syrup or the garlic or the ginger. Something so satisfying that you don't have to add anything to it at all. That's what we're after. That's what he recommends that we be after. But it requires giving up our taste for oatmeal. Because it requires giving up everything we've known so far. It doesn't have that much attraction. It requires a lot of conviction. But the Buddha also gives rewards along the way. One of them being the pleasure that comes from concentration. This too requires some ginger and garlic. In other words, you have to appreciate it. But you begin to realize that having a reliable well-being inside like this, it's much better than just hoping for more and more sensory contacts. Because that's the problem with the oatmeal of the six senses. It comes and it goes, it comes and it goes. There's nothing you can really hold on to. We try to hold on to. Hold on to things with our memories, recordings, pictures, videos. But those things are gone. They go so fast, so fast. They say that space-time moves at the speed of light. And it doesn't come back. But we keep coming back. We haven't had enough. Because we don't know anything else. It's like that story of King Gauravya, who realizes he's old now, he's 80 years old. He has diseases that he can't share out with other people. In other words, whatever pain he has to feel it alone. When he dies, he can't take anything with him. But when it's proposed to him that he conquer another country, sure, go ahead. Even though it would kill a lot of people, waste a lot of resources, it would add some spice. Need to come back for more. A slave to craving. So you've got to learn how to see your passions in that way, that you're a slave to your passions. They tie you down. Or you can follow the Taijans, and as they say that dispassion is like growing up. You look at the games you played as a child and they hold no interest. There are two ways you can outgrow a game. One is outgrowing tic-tac-toe. There comes a point when you realize there are only so many ways you can play tic-tac-toe. And as long as you don't make the stupid opening move, that would guarantee that you lose. At the very least, you'll always come back with a draw. But it loses its interest pretty fast. In other words, you've seen all the possibilities. The game loses its interest. Another way of outgrowing a game is like chess. There's no way you're going to know all the possibilities of chess. But there comes a point when you realize that even though it teaches you some strategy, teaches you a willingness to make some sacrifices in order to win, teaches you the power of deception when you can fool your opponent, but the particular strategies you learn as you continue with the game become more and more narrowly applicable only to the game that follows these particular rules with these particular pieces. There's nothing more really to learn that's going to be useful for the rest of your life, and you lose your interest. So a lot of things in life are like that. Either we realize all the possibilities and see there's nothing much there to challenge us, or we see that there are still challenges, but the challenges get more and more artificial, and we lose interest. So it's the dispassion is growing up. You can put aside your fascination with things that are really not all that interesting anymore. You find that there is something much, much better. There are people out there who claim that they've let go of their passion. They've found the third noble truth, and they claim that it's boring. Well, they haven't found the third noble truth. There's nothing boring about cessation of suffering. Just a bland, equanimous attitude. And the earth didn't shake because the Buddha found something bland and equanimous. It shook because he had found the deathless. Because there always is that possibility when you can learn not to have your passion for childish things. There's something much better you can discover as you grow up. Another way that John's described dispassion is this sobering up after intoxication. Things that seemed amusing when you were drunk, when you get sober, you realize they're really stupid and silly. Things that seem possible or worthwhile, you sober up, you realize it was not worth it. And there are dangers in being drunk. After all, it's the embodiment of heedlessness. When you're heedless, you can do anything stupid. It fits in with the traditional teaching on the three intoxications that the Buddha realized that he was intoxicated with when he was young. He was intoxicated with his youth, looking down on old people. Intoxicated with his health, looking down on sick people. Intoxicated with his life, looking down on those who are dead. It's just, they were all losers. Then he realized that even though he was now young and healthy and alive, there would come a time when he would be old and he would get sick and they'd eventually die. It wouldn't be appropriate for him to look down on people like that. At the same time, when you think you're young and you're always going to be young, healthy, you're always going to be healthy, alive, you're always going to be alive. Again, you're heedless. You can put things off, things that you really need to do for the training of the mind, for the true well-being of the mind. You just keep putting them off. No great hurry, no great danger. So when you're willing to realize, okay, there really are dangers. There really is a need to focus right now on what needs to be done. Because when youth goes, it doesn't come back. Health goes, well, sometimes it comes back. But when you die, well, you come back in another way. You have to start all over again. And you don't know which of your actions in this lifetime or previous lifetimes you're going to meet up with in the next lifetime. Things that seem secure now suddenly vanish. You find yourself facing different circumstances that you didn't expect. It could be good, but there's always a possibility there's something bad back there. So you can't afford to be heedless. You need to develop some dispassion for the things that would make you drunk, make you intoxicated, that keep you young, that keep you coming back for more and more oatmeal all the time. That's the big irony. We think that dispassion is oatmeal. We're the ones who are eating the oatmeal. We're just adding our own flavors to it. Think about that image of the dog chewing on some bones. Just chews and chews, and there's really no nourishment there. And John Lee's explanation of that image adds really nice detail. He says, all it gets is the flavor of its own saliva. What we think is ginger and garlic, or honey, or maple syrup, raisins, it's our own saliva. How much longer do you want to keep on falling for the taste of your own saliva? There's something that's much better. It doesn't require any passion at all. It's so extremely satisfying. It's extremely free from suffering and stress. That doesn't require any additives. It doesn't require you commenting or getting excited about it. It's sufficient in and of itself. That's why it's the highest dharma. That's what's meant by dispassion. the dispassion that the Buddha taught, that he found, he recommends that we try to find as well. It's well worth the effort. Make the earth shake in your heart as well.